The Old Testament reading for this fourth Sunday in Advent is from Micah chapter 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great from the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This is the word of the Lord. Epistle reading is from Hebrews chapter 10. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.' When he said above, 'You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings, and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law.' Then he added, 'Behold, I have come to do your will.' He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I know that Christmas is pressing in real fast. We ourselves jumped ahead a bit last week. The poinsettias are already around the altar. But grant me 15 minutes of Advent this morning. 15 more minutes in that pre-dawn blue and purple of wondering what day is dawning. Micah was a prophet who was a contemporary of Isaiah. The first verse of his book fixes his work in the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings in Jerusalem, or somewhere between 750 BC and 686 BC. Probably more important are the two great events of that period. In 722, the Assyrian superpower of the age flattened the northern kingdom of Israel. The northern 10 tribes were wiped off the map. A generation later, in 701, during a shaky transfer of imperial power, King Hezekiah gets caught on the wrong side. And the consolidating Assyrian king is marching towards Jerusalem to do the same thing as his grandfather did to the north. But the message of Micah is not really about that political situation, although that is the backdrop. Micah's message is always twofold. There's a clear-eyed assessment of what has brought us to this point of ruin. And then there's the reminder of the signs and the wonders and the grace of the Almighty God. There's an advent of a penitential season and an advent of a hopeful, the purple and the blue. Micah's clear-eyed assessment is oftentimes funny, but it's very complete. The worship of Israel had become idolatrous. He says, "Behold, the Lord is coming out of his place and will come down and tread upon the high places. All of her carved idols shall be beaten to pieces. All of her wages shall be burned with fire. And all of her idols I will lay waste." What they thought were the high places are lower than the Lord. But it wasn't just that corrupt worship. It was a corrupt society. Woe to those who devise wickedness and work evil on their beds. They covet fields and seize them, and houses and take them. They oppress a man and his house and take his inheritance. And it wasn't just social, it was civil. Hear, you rulers of Israel, is it not for you to know justice? You who hate the good and love the evil, who tear the skin off my people and their flesh from their bones. And it wasn't just the civil rulers, but the religious leaders as well. Do not preach, thus they preach. One should not preach of such things. Disgrace will not overtake us. But if a man should go about and utter wind and lies, saying, I will preach to you of wine and strong drink, this one would be the preacher for all of his people. Micah sums up his judgment. Israel's heads give judgment for a bribe. Its priests teach for a price. Its prophets practice divination for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord in the midst of us? No disaster shall overcome us. Have any of you ever seen the play or the movie 1776? General Washington is always writing letters to Congress in Philadelphia, while John Adams, in his words, says, fiddle, twiddle, and resolve. But they never send anything back to Washington. And the clerk, after reading the latest Washington missive, which includes the words, is anybody there? Does anybody care? Confesses to Adams that he thinks the general is writing to him, personally. We've been taking one a week as we walk through Advent of these short 12 books of prophets at the end of the Old Testament in our Bible class. And as we take them, I can commiserate with that clerk. Maybe there's some hiding space in the poetry, but I think I could take Micah's judgment and just run with it. The worship of the people of God has often become idolatrous. Have you heard the recent preaching of some of the largest congregations in the nation? I'm not talking about the obvious charlatans who are worshiping money, like the minister this week who had to give himself and his wife matching Lamborghinis, but the folks who are heirs of real ministry. Reverend Jeffers at First Baptist in Dallas has 100 times more American flags than references to Jesus in his sanctuary. The other part of the church has more rainbow flags. What exactly are these high places worshiping? It's also social. We seem to have no problem today with taking from the individual and giving for the benefit of the big corporation. Depending upon which tribe you are part of, you can get riled up about the forfeiture of things towards police to fund police forces, recently upheld in the court. Or you can get upset about eminent domain to make room for a strip mall, recently upheld. Or you can get upset about your entire social media graph being given to roughly everybody without your knowing, let alone your consent. No rulings yet, but our leaders are still mumbling, you can just start your own competitor if you don't like it. And all of those are to relatively well-off individuals. Let's not think too hard about how it was better pumping out opioids for profit on death while they were saying they were non-addictive. Not just social, but civil. Forget about justice, which would be the rule of law applied equally, which would be about creating a union. Instead, we are expert at finding small divisions and making them much larger. We are expert at ripping the flesh from the bone and having each part demand its rights. We are expert at applying prosecutorial discretion to a serpentine code to make the process the punishment and the poor plead to whatever we want. Not just civil, but religious. Even this Pope's most famous saying is probably, "Who am I to judge?" Fully reflecting Micah's "Do not preach." And then going out and muttering some wind while the house given to his care burns. And I pick on him too much, simply because he's so big. There are plenty of preachers that you can find that will preach to this generation their vices, their wine, and their strong drink. Micah is strong stuff, but he's just as strong when it comes to the hope. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too small to even be on the map. The Lord sees you, the small and the oppressed, the overlooked, the desperate, the lied to and the strung out. The Lord sees you. From you will come forth for me, one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose coming I told you about long ago. He sees you, and he has plans for you. I promised Abraham when he was nothing. I promised David when he was the youngest son and a shepherd. I promised Eve all the way back in the garden on that horrible day. From you, the king of my choosing is coming. He will give them up until that time, when she has given birth, then the rest of his brothers shall return. Those 10 lost tribes, they're lost to you, but they're not lost to the Lord. Those 2/3 of Noah's sons lost, that constant paring down and choosing for a time until the birth. But at that time, all the rest shall come in. The light to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The Lord has kept all of them in mind. And we have all failed and fallen short. None of us measure up to Micah's measuring stick. But that's because God has created a new one, not of the law, but of grace, not of works, but of faith, to love peace and to walk humbly with your God. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. In his wounds, we find a hiding place. His rod and his staff are our comfort. And they shall dwell secure to the ends of the earth. Whatever this world might do to us, in Christ we are secure. Wherever we might roam or stray, he's there. We descend into the pit, and he's there to call us out. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. This one is the Good Shepherd. And whatever and whenever the earthly ones fail, and we all will, Christ is true. In Christ we are secure. And it's not because of anything that we've done or anything that we deserve it. It's because he has called you, and he has chosen you, and he has begun this work in you, and he will bring that to completion, because he shall be their peace. The nations of the world rage. The peoples cry aloud. The idiot boxes in the corners of our rooms scream panic. And yet, there are plenty of reasons to arm up and bunker down. But he is our peace. Yes, they can deprive us of money and even of this life. But as great as all of that is, and I'd much rather have money and a tree full of presents and life than not, but as great as it is, it's nothing compared to the eternity that he has prepared for. That is the gift that has been prepared for you. Jesus has gone to prepare that place, beyond where moth and rust and tumult and strife and oppression and war can touch. And his kingdom is coming. Today it comes in grace. Repent. Your sins are forgiven and remembered no more. Today it comes in humility. A baby born of a virgin in a stable. Tomorrow he comes in glory. Tomorrow he raises his scepter, decreeing endless peace. Amen.